there's a train a come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
We're going to start from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. And we're going to read from chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. So this is a story of creation all the way up until God created man. So hear now then the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, a third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Then there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I ask you that as you abide in the hearts of believers, as you change even hearts today, that we hear the truth of your word and the very beginning of your revelation to mankind. Help us, Lord, to understand with open minds and open hearts and open the eyes of our hearts, Holy Spirit, as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever started a project and you think you kind of know what you're doing? I've been in this situation many times. And we're putting siding on our house as an example. And I've been trying to do it a little bit at a time here and there. But to start with, years ago, almost 40 years ago now, I used to remodel homes. And I worked for a number of years doing that. My dad taught me a lot. And so I used to do siding. And so I'm figuring out what I need to buy based on what I thought I knew. And as it turns out, it's totally changed. So there's pieces that you have to buy. There's ways that you have to prepare the side that's different than what I remember. There's ways that you have to start the whole thing that is somewhat different than I remember. And so I had to get the manual. And I had to look. And I had to read it. And I had to understand it. And then I put the siding up. Quite a good job, if I don't mind saying. But I couldn't have done an adequate job without reading the manual. There's another angle to this, another sort of facet to look at when comparing this, and that's movies and books. When you go to see a movie, and you're watching the movie, and you see everything that's going on in the movie, and then you go and you read the book. And it's like, oh, gee, I wish I'd have known this about that, because then I would have understood a little bit more in the what's going on in the movie, right? I mean, you've seen that. Well, here's the thing. There's no real reason to being here today. There's no real guidance of being here today without the revelation that God gives us. And that is in His Word. This is something that is deep on my heart, and I can't convey this enough, and I want you to understand at least the desire and the depth of what I feel here. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I mean, God spoke to my heart, mind, and soul. And one of the things that I wrestled with in my younger days, when I was 30 years old, I gave my life to Christ, and it changed my life. And I won't go into the whole story, but the one piece that He gave me that I wrestled with for years was that the Bible can't be true. It's not true. And He spoke to me in no uncertain terms that my word is true. Read it like it's true. Quit being so skeptical. Read it like it's true. Because it is true. And so, in my ministry, as I've grown up in the church, and you know, I became an elder at Hickory and ended up going to seminary and becoming a pastor, that is the passion of my heart, to convey to you that this is God's living word to you. It is true. The Bible's your instruction manual for life, for all aspects of living like a Christian. You can't get it any other way. It doesn't come any other way. The Bible's your gateway of knowing God and pursuing your relationship with Him as He pursues you as well. And so, I mean, there's probably 15 sermons in what I just read to you in the book of Genesis. But I want to just broadly look at these first 25 verses. And I think that they reveal two things. Number one, God reveals Himself to us. In other words, even reading these verses have no meaning unless you understand that it's God's revelation to you. So there is a way that we can understand the origins of life by the Word of God. The Bible, Scripture. Secondly, in the broad things of what He had done in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth day of creation, that God created everything that we see. That He did what is scientifically impossible, and He created the entire universe out of nothing, ex nihilo in Latin, out of nothing. And scientists can't duplicate that today. Can't create something out of nothing. Nothing only yields nothing. So let's look at these two things. Let's look at the Bible. God has given us something very special so that we're free to pursue Him in knowledge and wisdom. We can read these words, we can understand it, this special revelation of His Word. And John Calvin expressed the threefold purpose of Scripture. It's the rule of faith in life. It uncovers and exposes sin in your life. It uncovers and exposes disobedience to what God wants you to be obedient to and shows you obedient, and it leads you to Christ. Those three things. Scripture, it's just not, if you think it's just a collection of 66 old books, you're missing it. If you think that there's no connection in the whole thing, you haven't read it. You haven't studied it. If you think that somehow it's just a book that was put together and redacted and changed and we can't be sure what in the world's in there now, I challenge you. You have not read it. You've not read the Bible. There was a Francis Chan who in a video that I had seen one time, and I've used this example before, but he talks about how a couple Mormons came to his door, and he's talking to them about, they want to convert him to Mormonism, and he's talking to them about, listen, there's no way you can believe what you believe. If you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you're never going to come up with what you're saying you believe. It's just not going to happen. And then he left, and he and the guy said, well, yeah, I'm going to think about that because I never did read it all the way through. I just kind of listened to what people told me. It's just not a collection of books. It's the Word of God. It's God's love letters to you. When you read Psalm 23 and you see the Lord is my shepherd, Tom's shepherd, I shall not want. You personalize it because He is talking to you in His Word. He leads me in green grass beside still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's God's love letters to you. It's the only way that you can effectively grow in your relationship with Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other way. It's the only way that you can learn more about Him, discover how He wants you to behave, to see how He is faithful to you, how He loves you in an altruistic, deep way, wants the best for you, and wants to bind this relationship in unity with you. It's the most awesome thing in life. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible is all about. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the living God. That's what it is. When you read Genesis to Revelation, that's what it's all about. The Bible's your gateway of knowing God. The Bible's your gateway of pursuing your relationship with Him as He pursues you. It's progressive revelation. As we start from Genesis and we move on to Revelation, the book of Revelations, you see God's progressive work all the way through Scripture in time, in real time. It's grammatical. In other words, words have meaning. And so words make a difference. It's grammatical. When you're reading Scripture, you look at the words that are used, how they're used in a sentence, how the sentence is used in a paragraph, how that is in the chapter, how that chapter is in the book, how that book relates to the other 65 books of Scripture. It's grammatical. And it's redemptive revelation. It shows how God wants to have a relationship with you. The Bible in the Old Testament is all about Christ coming. The Bible in the New Testament is the Christ who came and is Jesus Christ in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. There's a golden thread that runs through Scripture. It's all about God restoring his relationship to you. And so we get the question answered of how did we get here? Is there a God? You know, where did he come from? Why is there evil in the world? What is sin? And how do we restore this relationship with God? That's what the Bible's all about. There you go. Genesis is origins, is beginnings. And so in Genesis, we see the first book of the Bible, we see the beginning of the world, and what I just read you. We see the beginning of the human race, which will come next week. The beginning of sin in the world, what that means. The beginning of the promise of redemption. The beginning of family life. The beginning of civilization. The beginning of nations in the world. The beginning of the Hebrew people. Genesis is all about that. You must rely on Scripture to get your understanding of Christianity. It's where we have discernment. It's where we can what we can read and we can understand and we can see life around us and we can see what's wrong, what we should be involved with, shouldn't be involved with. It answers all those questions. But only if you read it. And see, that's God's revelation to you. And so secondly, the second broad topic is this whole idea of creation. When we look at the wood and we look at the plaster on the walls and we look at the shirts that we have and we look at the carpet and we look at the pews and we look, I don't care what you look at. There's a design to it. There's nothing that you can look at that doesn't have some kind of design. You can even get down into a microscope, into the individual cells and see the complexity, the vast complexity of cells that they never imagined before because they can see deeper and more now. Tremendously complex. See, there's nothing normal about us. Think about it. The Earth to do an orbit around the sun is 584 million miles. We have a fairly circular orbit. And in that circular orbit, going 584 million miles around the sun means that we're going 67,000 miles an hour right now. Think about it. I mean, we're on this kind of spaceship and going 67,000 miles an hour, and we don't even feel it. That's more than 1,000 miles a minute. I mean, can you even comprehend that? It's incredible. The speed of the Earth's rotation at the equator is more than 1,000 miles an hour. That's pretty bizarre when you think about it, right? When you think about it in those terms, we're kind of left on, we live on the outside of some spaceship without spacesuits. We're flying off into space at some crazy speed, yet we don't fall off. You cannot look at everything around us and come to the conclusion that this all happened by chance because somewhere the entire universe condensed on itself and blew apart, and here we are. It takes you much more faith to believe that than to believe God created the universe. When you see a jet airliner, you intuitively know that it's not created by a tornado that went through a junkyard. If I'm walking down the beach and I see a watch on the beach, And I'm not going to be thinking that, oh, gee, after eons of time and water coming and sand coming, it made this watch. Honestly, think of how ridiculous that sounds. And think of how complex human beings are compared to a watch, compared to a jet airliner. To be an atheist, I think, is intellectually dishonest. There is a designer. In the first three verses of Scripture, we see something that's important in this creation. We see in the beginning, God. You see, in the beginning, there was someone around who was there before the beginning. There was an uncreated being, God, who created. And what's the first three verses say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the use of the word God there, and I'm going to wrap it up with these three verses, is Elohim. It's plural. Now, that's a curious use of the word. Speaking of one God, yet using plurality. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So there's this creator God. There's a spirit God. All the same God, Elohim. Then God said, he spoke, he delivered his decree, let there be light. The spoken word through which everything was created. Father, Spirit, Son. What's it say in the Gospel of John, which is a parallel to these three verses? The Gospel of John says, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing has been created that has been created without the Word. The Trinity's right there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Distinct from any other religion in the world. There's no God like that. There's no Jewish God like that. There's no Islamic God like that. This is distinct and different and unique. This is the God that created. This is the God that gives us the reason for being. This is the God that gave us his revelation. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must grasp this and understand it and move forward in our walk with Christ. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, we get back to basics, Lord. It's all about you. It's not about us. It's about you. You've created everything. You've placed us, even creating everything is one aspect, Lord. You've placed us in this place and time. Of all the places in the world we could be, we find ourselves here in this New Hope Church, even today. Of all the times that we could have been born, we're born in this little sliver. And we're here now. And we're not here without purpose because you give us purpose. We're not here without a plan because you give us a plan. We're not here without relationship because you restore us to yourself. You indeed are an awesome, awesome God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.